Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Twisted Tuesdays with the Twisted Sisters. And sometimes a Twisted Listener, too. We just never know. Hey, Pam, how are you tonight?
Oh, I am doing great. Looking forward to hanging out with you, other cool poets, delving into the poetry, you know, and life is good. A little warmer than I liked it. We made it up to 90, but other than that, you know, it's all good. Besides, until somebody starts paying me to complain, there ain't no point in doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. It was pretty warm here today, too, I have to admit. Gosh, I went out to the kitchen today, and I don't know, I was dripping. I said, oh, my God, I can't stand it. I came in and cranked up the fan and sat right down in front of it.
Yeah, some days is all you can do.
Amen.
Exactly.
Amen.
And how are you doing?
Absolutely. So tell me about this. Yes, very hot. Exactly. You want to tell me about the prompt for tonight? Let me know how that's all about and what you picked out.
Well, our topic for tonight is the phrase joie de vivre, which is French for a literal translation would be joy of living, but a less literal translation would be a delight in being alive, keen, carefree enjoyment of living. And I was having to be looking at an article, you know, of, you know, phrases in different languages that have beautiful meaning. But, of course, I think most of us have heard the phrase joie de vivre, which I'm probably slightly mispronouncing, but that's okay. It's as close as I can get, you know, before. And so I thought, I bet I could go on the internet and dig up a bunch of different artwork and quotes that have to do with this, you know, particular thing. So I found quotes that had to do with joy and happiness. I found artwork where it was actually either titled Joie de Vivre, and, you know, I thought it fit well, or even some of the artwork didn't have necessarily a title, but I looked at it, and I thought, if I thought about a delight in being alive, about keen, carefree enjoyment in living, would this artwork speak to me on that topic? And if the answer was yes, then it got put on for a prompt. So there was no one specific artist or, you know, author that is being featured tonight. It's just simply the idea of being inspired by and writing about joie de vivre. So,
there you go.
That's the topic.
There you go. The joy of life. Nothing wrong with that.
Absolutely.
Very cool. So let me just see. We have a couple of callers. Let's see. We have Randy G. And hello, Randy. And how are you tonight?
I'm just great. Glad to be here. Hello, everyone.
Hi, Randy. Glad
you
could be here.
Hi, Pam.
Always. Okay, and next I have 703. Hello, 703. Is that you, Thomas?
Yeah, I guess you just use that mental power of yours to sweep across the phone lines and discover my identity.
Hi, Tom. Glad you could join us.
Sometimes I catch it that way. I don't know. Ask for Randy. Randy and I never get it right. So it's, I'm always saying, I'm just calling, please. And he goes, it's Randy G. And then I always feel stupid. So see, it just, I don't know. It all depends, I guess. Randy threw me a curve tonight because it's Tuesday. I don't think I very rarely speak to him on Tuesday. He's on my Sunday list.
Yeah, I just tried to mess you up tonight.
I know, but I knew it was on purpose, Randy. I knew it. But that's all right.
That's
I forgive you. I like to chuckle, so it's all right. Okay, and we have one more caller. Hello, 585. Who's calling, please?
Hey, Jean. Hey, Pam. Randy, Tom. How is everybody?
Hello, Ron.
Hey, Lauren. Glad you could join us.
Hello, Rick.
And there are no cool poets in the United States today. Everybody's hot.
I was thinking the same thing. That is so true.
I'm welcome.
I think it is. It can work wonders. But that's just my opinion. Oh, my goodness. So, glad everyone's here and doing well. It's just getting ready to some poetry. Sam, do you have any particular place you want to start here? Just asking for the first time.
Well, you know, I would say that let's start with the carryovers from Purple Pink Periwinkle. I think we have about a few of them. Yeah, but no, other than that, no particular order.
Well, that much I knew.
All
I was trying to figure out where to start with it.
Okay.
Well, I don't know. I guess I'll grab this one. Okay, Pam. And since it's your show, I'm putting up your first piece by Ohm. So whenever you're ready.
All right. And this is The Magic Forest Lands by Omega AM. And it goes like this. Perhaps it was known only to her when the moon glowed in this magenta woodlands, shining a hazy brevity mist sparkling giggles could be found in any time abound. The purple moon entrapment waited with patience. She sat on the most comfortable log and waited slowly. The leaves rustled askewed and unspoken, and grounds moved to a quick pace. Cauldrons of valleys began to awaken, and only those with the most discerning ear could hear the underfoot rustlings. A small wren started to chirp whilst the fawn played by butterflies of such magnitude flew in their own merriment. A magic hush of three fairies singing flew right on by, and a musical crescendo goblins hunting snippets of food. An old porky fairy was laughing so loud he fell off his mushroom unleashed. He said, if I ate all my vegetables, he would share the joke. I would never munch on my vegetables, and I guess he secret lived on in the silent shoals. Unique wooded glen glowing moonlight streamed in, a world of moth fauna and wonderment adrift. Sneaky trolls were not allowed to venture near. It was a peaceful existence of gaiety all year round. Transcendental cadence of fairies flew around, sending perfumed kisses whilst fluttering with smiles. It was such a special time in this forest of mauve. I will try my very hardest to return sometime soon. End poem. And this was just a beautiful story poem by Omega. And Randy, let's start with your thoughts on this.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. It's it was very well written, and that was a very nice read. It's a unique story with a lot of colorful details in it. Very distinct, talking about, you know, fairies and trolls. And I really like the musical crescendo goblins hunting snippets of food. And old porky fairy was laughing so loud he fell off his mushroom unleashed. He said, if I ate all my vegetables, he would share the joke. I would never munch on my vegetables. And I guess his secret lived on in the silent shoals. It was a really nice, fanciful story, woodland story. And it kept me intrigued all the way through. I really liked it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Well said there. And Laurent, your thoughts?
Yeah, the poet weaves such a magical venue, along with the supporting details of forest fauna, that almost makes the place seem real. In the back of my mind, I've always felt that there are these special places, almost magical, that are never shown to humans. They escape notice somehow, and so I took this poem to heart because it really spoke to a lot of the imaginings I used to have when I was young and these places could exist in the reality of my imagination. I almost don't know what to pick, but I really like a small wren started to chirp whilst the fawn played by. Butterflies of such magnitude flew in their own merriment. A magic hush of three fairies singing flew right on by. She made it very real to me, with all the details, the porky fairy, et cetera. Very, very nice piece.
Absolutely. Well said there. And Tom, your thoughts?
Well, I love the fact that he was able in the first three verses to really build her scene, to really set it so well that you accept it and you become part of it. And that was all in the third person. And then she switches to first person in the next three verses so smoothly that we don't even really notice the segue. And it becomes even more personal and more immediate and more present. It's possible to say more that many times and have it make any sense. But it's really done beautifully and delightfully. And she takes us into a world and then leaves us asking for more, just like the last line says that she'd like to return as well.
Absolutely. I have to agree. Great observation. And Phil, your thoughts?
Well, you know, I have to agree with Thomas. I think that this really was a backdrop well painted here. The imagery was great, and she set it up. I don't know if I'm just male or female, so I apologize. But the poet set up a wonderful background to tell his tale, or her tale, throughout, and I think it was really well done, nicely written, and, I really enjoyed it. So nice work, and thank you, Omega.
Absolutely, absolutely. Great comment. Yeah, I really enjoyed this, too. I thought it was a beautifully written story, wonderful attention to detail. I like how there's that sense of movement with, and grounds move to a quick pace, cauldrons of valleys begin to awaken, and only those with the most discerning ear could hear the underfoot rustlings. And the use of the imagery, the use of the color mauve, I thought was really nice. And I really particularly liked the line, transcendental cadence of fairies who around sending perfumed kisses while fluttering with smiles. I thought that was just absolutely delightful. And this story poem was very well done. And what do you got for us next, Jean?
Well, the next one I'm going to put up is called Petal Postcard by Learning as I Go. And I'm going to give this one a read. So here we go. To shovel the vibrations willing to spill on an oak-softened skin is no leaf and breeze twirl, off negotiation. A dead man's voice speaks over mine as I whack at sightless chains, loading on ships, seeds. No farmer can sow with his plow for you to read. Now, with a blue rose blossoming under the brain of clocks, your feet may have eroded to another's hand. Your eyes may have turned into supernovas. Your hair may have been made into a closer friend. Whatever sprouted in the bare pages may leave blue rows of vibrations, a splinter chain that willingly spilled themselves into the oak's softened skin, followed the ship's current to you with a dead man's kiss. End poem.
Wonderful read there, Jean. And what a beautiful write by Learning as I Go. And Tom, let's start with your thoughts.
She does. I really like the opening line, to shovel the vibrations willing to spill on an oak's softened skin. And right there, you're immediately intrigued and brought into a world where things begin to take on their own attributes, for lack of a better word. And when she goes, often as an artisan of negotiation, a dead man's voice speaks over mine, we realize that reality is going to become transmuted, metamorphosized into a whole new reality. And she does it with a great grace and charm, so that by the time you end up at the end with a dead man's kiss, you feel like you have been enchanted, taken into another universe, and left to find your own way home. Beautifully done.
Absolutely. And I like that thought, the idea of being taken into another universe. Well said there. And Laurent, your thoughts.
I love the phrase, now with a blue rose blossoming under the reign of clocks. Well, what a wonderful way to describe the passing of time. The ship is a wonderful metaphor. The ship could be almost anything that's going to carry his wishes to her. But unfortunately, with a dead man's kiss, in terms of a romantic poem, It is, I think, desperately romantic, almost to a fault, but beautifully done.
I like that, desperately romantic, almost to a fault. You know, it does have a certain sense of romanticism to it, that's for sure. And, yeah, the ship as a metaphor works really well. And, Randy, your thoughts?
Yeah, it was a strange poem to me. I mean, it on the surface, it seemed to have so many disjointed lines that didn't seem to really connect or out of the ordinary of what you normally think of, but they were intriguing nonetheless. Ren had mentioned the line of "Now with a blue rose blossoming under the rain of clocks," and I like the next one as well. "Your feet may have eroded to another's hands. Your eyes may have turned into supernovas." These things seem to be unrelated, but somehow the writer just made it work and made it flow and drew us in. So I was very intrigued by it. I enjoyed it.
Absolutely. And I do have to agree. I think intriguing is a perfect word to describe it. And yes, there are imagery that don't seem to quite fit together usually, but it works within this poem. So great observation there. And Jean, your thoughts?
Well, y'all stole my word, so I'm going to say it anyway. But I thought it was a great story told in this piece. I thought it was intriguing and contained nice imagery throughout. So I thought it was nicely expressed. It was just abstract enough to like not make it simple, but nicely done.
Yeah, and I did like the, I have to agree, and I did like the abstract in this, so well said there. Mm-hmm. And, I thought this was, as I had said, as a beautiful and thought-provoking imagery and metaphors. I did agree with Lawrence that there was an idea in this, in the right being on the passing of time. I had also gotten an idea from reading this of the energy that connects all things. It definitely is beautifully written, intriguing and thought provoking, and very well done. And what do you got for us next, Jean?
Next, I have one for Randy. Randy, you're going to be here for a while tonight, or?
I probably only got about another 30 minutes or so.
Okay. Give me a little bit of a timeline. Okay, I'm going to ask you to read this piece here for Deer Catcher, if you'd be so kind.
Sure, no problem.
Thank you.
Okay, this is, the poem is Glide Path by Deer Catcher. Dawn Sunday in the Coachica Mountains. Wrapped the low, rounded hills in pink and powder blue. Matt drove the diesel hard to make up lost moments. Tucker wanted to come too. Hid from view, not wanting to guard the cottage just behind the knobby tires. Coaxed out with chicken. Redecorated in our absence. Keeping appointment with instructor for flight. A 70s model Beach B-19 Sport at the Mena Airport in a back seat that asked about weight. Matt was fit, but then he could only carry 12 pounds of fuel. He deferred and placed me in the front seat for Father's Day, tinkered with the more. Film takeoff and landing, intense and intimate, elbows to windows, gauges and procedures discussed, revoicing consonants, so throat mic picks up message, propeller spins, whines, and blurs to invisible, healthy reassuring war, we taxi into alignment, shake until couched and quiet, I feel the new tension in the wings. Body skyward, the woods, the hills, coming in waves, ridges and valleys, amazing lack of civilization, forced, unimpressed with pavement and mulching. I take no photographs, not of the manicured football field, Bearcat pride, pristine purple trim, feminine curved skyline, sleeping under foliage blanket. Keep fear at bay, eagerly taking it in, crawling across the sky. 100 miles an hour, burning 4 gallons an hour, looking for bass and obliquest green ponds, plenty room for Bigfoot to hide in those woods. Pilot agreed and told tales of the locals catch glimpses from horseback in the National Forest just to the east. A big hairy finger from behind a trail camp, ball-sized rock crashing near an unwelcome foot. What other forest creature throws rocks? I shine on an island and beavers bend float fishing at midnight, campfires blinking in spotlight. The lineup for hanging, landing, triggers the automated forelight, glide path report, slight crab, stall warning squeals, but we don't want to fly anymore. Pick up the vibrations of wheels. Fill out the log with my name and time. Examine a German self-towing glider with albatross wings filling the hangar. As a Volkswagen aviation engine, to be feathered for soaring. Only 20,000 looking for a new owner. We order omelets and waffle at the Skyline Cafe. Coffee and orange juice, periwinkle spray, reading the day. It's 7:30. We explore gravel and boulders of primitive trails in the Bochica National Forest, travel the ridgeline with limbs scratching both sides, clearing the boulders, looking down 60 degrees into the crevasse. I look for shadows in the distance, stumps that run away. We are not on horseback. Fields need bush hog, roof leaf repair. Divide and conquer both forms. Find the shattered spindle, bent blades detached, and deliver deck to shop. Take out a wall and haul. Purple futon sofa and a new treehouse. Sweep the last of the sawdust out. Almost done. Remove the extra braces for more room. Bamboo floor mat has to be cut for trap door. Rest, testing the cushions needing nap. Decide to drive home early instead. Happy Father's Day. Indeed, in poem.
Wonderful read,
nice
there, Randy. And, you know, I just thought this was another excellent story poem, but this one, it seems to be a true story about a Father's Day adventure. And Deer Catcher actually got gold from Naomi in her Purple Pink Periwinkle contest for this, right? So congratulations on that. Plus, it was a front page pick. And Laurent, your thoughts?
Well, it was extremely impressive. The description of the takeoff and landing, I thought was spot on. Anyone who hasn't flown on a small plane will immediately look at the line, if I can find it. I feel the new tension in the wings. And, you know, that's exactly what happens. And the little ship, if I can call it a ship, does bound skyward. The woods, the hills, coming in waves. The description, the crawling across the sky, 100 miles an hour, burning 4 gallons an hour, plenty of room for Bigfoot to hide in these woods. And then he goes ahead and talks about the tales of the locals, which I just found fascinating. Again, very impressive. The description of the takeoff and landing was spot on. That stanza that I was referring to is to the mysteries of often impenetrable forests now seen from the sky, assuming different forms and shapes. And I just thought, like you said, I thought it was a great story poem.
Oh, absolutely. Well said there. And I've never actually gotten to ride in a small plane, a helicopter, but not a small plane. I can imagine, though, so I'm glad you brought that part up, because it's always intriguing to think about something new. And Tom, your thoughts?
I like this in terms of the descriptions, the sense. I'm trying to get up with this. There's a story, but there's also the feeling of someone being intensely caught in the moment. And the fascination with the flying seems to take up, to create a really strong impression on them, yet at the same time, their comments about the Yeti, Bigfoot, the sense of being a certain level of man, fits nicely with the way the plane takes off and the landing. But then also when you come down to the end, I look for shadows in the distance, stumps that run away, not on horseback, fields need bush hog, roof leak to repair. The sense of there's a purpose to this, there's things to be fixed, things to be done, and that there's a real sense of accomplishment in the end. Bent blade, detach and deliver deck to shop, take out a wall and a hull. And so both the airplane, which was the big adventure, but also the intense restoration, I guess you could say, of the farms, served to make this a happy Father's Day indeed. It's an interesting sort of personal, very personal sense of a weekend of wonder and a weekend of joy. Very well done.
Absolutely. Well said there. And Randy, you did a wonderful job of reading that. Your thoughts?
Well, I appreciate that. It was, you know, there's a lot in this poem. It's every single line has described something. So it's very busy that way. So while I was reading it, trying to actually take it all in was kind of difficult, trying to just pay attention to reading the lines. But going back over it a little bit while you guys have been talking about it, it's just a wonderful story. Warm with great detail, and I liked all the lines that you guys have mentioned before. You know, the forest unimpressed with pavement and mulching. I took no photographs, not of the manicured football field, Bearcat pride, pristine purple trim, feminine curved skyline. You know, like I said, every single line in this rather long poem describes something. So it really, it keeps you engaged every bit of the way. So yeah, I really like that. It's really good.
Yeah, absolutely. It certainly does keep you engaged, and wonderful use of imagery, wonderful attention to detail. You know, I really like how this, you know, seems to be written. Even though, you know, there's that line, I took no photographs, not of manicured football field, you do, you know, see that, you know, there is this idea of somebody who has the eye of a photographer, who, you know, has a, you know, it's a very observational poem, that's for sure. So beautifully written. And back to you, Jean.
Okay. Well, I thought this was a wonderfully detailed, right? And just really well done. So great job, dear Fletcher, and congrats on the gold. Congrats on the gold and for the front page pick. So that's awesome. Very awesome too. Okay. Now, Laurent, I have to come back to you because right now I have two female people. And, yes. And then to finish out this section of the Pam, I'm going to put this piece up for you, if you don't mind.
Absolutely. I'd be happy to read them.
Let me know if it gets tough, because I'll be happy to stick around.
Okay. All right. This is Purple Petals Persuade by Passion's Promise, and it goes like this. Beautiful innocence breathes purple hues, paints decorations on a dreamer's heart, whispers of the unknown, a work crew, stirring the magnitudes of wanton desire. Petals spread, beckoning the storyline. Unleash it asks of us, dive into detail. with plump lips I kiss life into each smoke ring of passion evolves off into the sunset. Soft melody hums as the back in the background as I become hypnotized by love's liquor. Persuaded, I become the storyteller of sweet purple petals, a withered rose full of magician's ink. Strong and firm, it rises to greet the eve, a soldier of the storm. And poem. This has some beautiful lines, wonderful alliteration. I like the sense of, like, there's a nice sense of sensuality, but, like, especially in the end line, there's a really great sense of inner strength. But, and I also like how it seems to be about a poem about writing, a poem about writing, creating words that bring life and sensuality and strength together. So beautifully written and very well done. And Randy, your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree. It was a sensual in a very soft way. Beautifully written. It was a great read on your part, but Passion did a great job with this poem. I like the petal spread beckoning, the storyline unleashed. It asks of us dive into detail. With plump lip, I kiss life into each. That's a very sensual lines right there. It flowed very well, and I thought it did describe writing in a different way. In a different passionate way through color purple and some other details without outright talking about writing. It did. And it was a wonderful poem. I liked it.
Absolutely. Well said there. And Lauren, your thoughts?
This is a very intriguing piece. In the beginning, it speaks of a beautiful innocence. I haven't found beautiful innocence in too many people, with the exception of children. Children possess that beautiful innocence, and especially a young girl who might become enamored with that color purple hues, although it's used in two different ways here. Paints decorations on a dreamer's heart. Petals spread, beckoning the storyline. It's almost as if you have a younger person speaking of, an older person speaking of a younger person whose beautiful innocence inspires the storyteller. Persuaded, I become the storyteller of sweet purple petals, a withered rose full of magician's ink. Strong and firm, it rises to greet the eve, the soldier of the storm. Almost as if she's past her time, but she knows what the sweet purple petals mean and do, and she remembers, and she writes about it. At least that's my take. I thought it was a great piece.
Oh, absolutely, and great observations there. Thank you. And Tom, your thoughts?
I like how this almost feels like the birth and blossoming of the story, in a sense. You get the beautiful innocence breathes purple hues, and then that transfers into a work crew stirring magnitudes of want and desire, and then the petals spread, beckoning the storyline. She becomes the storyteller of sweet purple petals, and finally we begin to see the birth of the real story. A withered rose full of a magician's ink, strong and firm, it rises to greet the eve, a soldier of the storm. As for all the sensuality in this, there's a strong sense of purpose, of bringing something into being, of letting something begin its own story, begin its own fascination with life. Rather stunning bit of work, using a good sense of the abstract as well as having a strong sense of vision as she wrote this. Very well done.
I like that. And yeah, there is, you're right, a strong sense of purpose. So very well said. And back to you, Gene.
Okay, well, I thought this was a pretty piece. There was a whole lot of great lines throughout. And I have to say, I like the closing lines as well, all three of the last lines. You know, just for, I thought it pulled together nicely at the end. So great job, Passions, and thanks for sharing. Okay, now, there we go. This is the last one for the purple periwinkle, and what's the other one, Pam?
Purple pink periwinkle.
There you go. Maybe you would know. Okay. And this one is called Lolly, and it's by K.H. Ventura. Lolly, Lolly, it's time to wake up. A bizarre adventure is waiting for us. Flamingo song, moth hums, whimsical bunny dreams. I'll take you places that you've never seen. Let's visit Praying Mantis Lucy. She makes the best tropical pink smoothies. Lolly, Lolly, it's time to wake up. A bizarre adventure is waiting for us. Lolly, Lolly, can you hear the birds sing? It's 9 a.m. and I wake up from the most unusual dream. Thank you, Lolly, for awakening the inner child in me. And foam.
Wonderful read, Jean, and what an absolutely delightful write. And Laurent, your thoughts?
Yeah, if we can communicate somehow with that child that we used to be at a more advanced age, even though that child will sleep for a very long time, there is still the possibility of awakening it, as said, I wake up from the most unusual dream. Thank you, Lolly, for awakening the inner child in me. Great piece.
It really is. Absolutely well said there. And Randy, your thoughts?
Yeah, first of all, that was a really great read, Phil.
Thank you.
Yeah, this is a very light, cheerful piece. And kind of touching on what Brent said, you know, it is about bringing out the inner child, and it's an awakening, that youthful thing within us that all of us carry with us, even as we get older. We have memories and thoughts of when we were young, and it's nice when occasionally they're awakened and we re-experience them. So I kind of thought that's what this was about, and I really enjoyed it. I thought it was very pleasing.
Absolutely. I like that. Well said there. And Tom, your thoughts?
Well, there's a real sense of the weaving of magic and mystery with fantasy that are all part of an inner child sort of making sense of a universe that often doesn't make any sense, and doing it full of laughter and delight. And I like the way she takes us through this, how you want to say, sort of eruption of magic with both between herself and her inner child, and weaves it in a way that we're caught up with the laughter and the joy that's being expressed. So finally, when you get to that, it's 9 a.m. and I wake up from the most unusual dream. Thank you, Lolly, for awakening the inner child in me. We're celebrating with her because she's also touched our own inner child. Beautifully done.
Absolutely. Yeah, it is very textile, and I do like that. I do like that this is about the awakening of the inner child, and I like how much fun she seems to have with the imagery, you know, within the picture and bringing it into the poem. So it has almost a combination of whimsical and surrealism. I particularly like that second stanza. I'll take you places that you've never seen. Let's visit Praying Mantis Lucy. She makes the best tropical pink smoothies. So wonderful lines and very well done. And back to you, Jean.
Okie dokie. Well, Randy, I'm going to put your piece up next. Only because I know you're
okay.
Going to leave soon, so I don't want to
right.
Leave you hanging for any length of time. So
thanks,
here we go. Whenever you're ready. You're welcome, hon.
Okay. The name of the poem is Embrace Life. Life is brief. Take advantage of each day. Grab it with both hands. Do not let it slip. Sometimes a battle. Don't avoid the fray. With no turning back, it's a one-way trip. Moving forward, steadily on the throttle, while taking in life's monumental sights, developing philosophy, a new Aristotle, and appreciate the future's looking bright. Finding some of nature's fragrant smells can transfix us in a sensual state of awe. The aroma of roses weave a magic spell. Just relax and embrace this joie de vivre in poem.
Great reading right there, Randy. I really enjoyed this one. I like that you chose that picture because, you know, I think sometimes people might get the idea that, you know, and maybe it's technically supposed to be, you know, enjoying life is supposed to be something done noisily. But I, in my opinion, I don't think so. I think enjoying life can be, you know, taking time to look at the beautiful flowers, sipping your favorite hot beverage. And I think you've captured that well. And I mean, in these three stanzas, wonderful rhyme and flow as always, an excellent read. And I really like this all the way through. But I especially like where you, the line, grab it, life is brief, take advantage of each day, grab it with both hands, do not let it slip. And then onto the second stanza where you say, moving forward steadily on the throttle while taking in life's monumental sights, developing a philosophy, a new Aristotle, and appreciate the future's looking bright. There's such a wonderful sense of living to the fullest and appreciating the moment, but also knowing that there's things to look forward to. So very well done, Randy.
Thank you, Pam.
Absolutely.
And Tom, your thoughts?
Well, you expressed most of them for me. I agree. because it does a beautiful job of capturing how much grabbing hold of life is and being rich with it and being deeply in it is not just being rambunctious and running around like a child, but is also being able to become to peace with it and serene with it and deeply philosophical about it. And I really like that characterization in this piece. So that when you get to that last verse, it takes on a more graceful sense of depth and movement than simply a celebration of, oh, isn't everything wonderful? Hot damn, you know, jumping up and down. Beautifully done.
Absolutely. Well said, David. And Laurent, your thoughts.
Life is brief. Take advantage of each day. Grab it with both hands. Do not let it slip. Sometimes a battle. Don't avoid the fray. No turning back. It's a one-way trip. No truer words, my friend. It's so easy to fritter away entire years. And then you can't remember them for their banality. Live to the limits. Well spoken, poet.
Thank you, Laurent.
Absolutely. Well said there. And back to you, Jean.
Well, Randy, I thought this was just a wonderful piece. You had me from the very first stanza. I thought that was wonderful. You know, speaking of grab it with both hands, don't let it slip away. You know, that's just excellent. But I loved your ending stanza. Finding some of nature's fragrant smells can transfix us into an essential state of awe. The aroma of roses weave a magic spell. Just relax and embrace it, you know, joie de vivre. I don't know. I think that was just an excellent ending for this. And I think you really captured a lot in it for only being three stanzas long. I think it's wonderful. So nicely done. Okay.
Thank you very much, Phil.
You're welcome, hon. It's fun to have you around. Okay. Now, the next piece I'm going to put up is I'm going to put Lauren's piece since I had to skip him on the first go round. And then I'm coming to you, Tomba. So that way everybody knows I'm not totally crazy. I'm close, though. Okay, here we go. Hey, Laura, whenever you're ready.
The prompt is the image. This is called Joie de Vivre. Betwixt my betweens, hidden in adjacent rhymes, lies a fascination with new ways of crafting lines. Within wood lies a rhythm. I seek to shape its shadows, carving and smoothing, cross-cutting to compose, discovering worlds deep in the heart of the oak, transforming its fibers into an object bespoke. Period chair with desk, perhaps a table for four, within woodworking, new joys and skills to explore. Powers, expression loud, saws and routers at high RPM. Scratch of a quill compares the quieter form of mayhem. Sawdust flies, stings, sandpaper smooths away rough. Three coats of stain, then wax, polish with a high-speed buff. Creation gleams in the light. Poem crafted in hardwood. Burled dreams given form. Natural beauty understood. Joie de vivre in my new insanity eats the hours of my days. Nonetheless, I dip pen to write, sipping wine in my new artisanal chaise. End poem.
Wonderful read and write there, Laurent. I really enjoyed this one. And before I comment, though, let's get some other comments. And Tom, your thoughts.
I like the way that you start this off with a sense of hidden and adjacent rhymes like a fascination with new ways of crafting lines, which sounds like the beginning of a poem about writing. And then you take us into the wood, and we begin to see that the lines are about grain and the shape and the smoothness and the artistry, so that this joy of life, this sense of wonder, also becomes a way of expressing our own inner vision, our own inner sense of art, by becoming one with the craft as well. And so the description of bringing this piece of furniture into reality becomes an expression of one's own sense of wonder and joy at the same time. And then the ending with I dip my pen to write, sipping wine, before we come to the new artisanal chase, speaks again of how I write to express all the joy I find in all the things I do in life. Very beautiful.
Great comment, Tom. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Well said there, Tom. Yeah, I thought this had wonderful imagery. I really like that you chose to write to that quote by Elizabeth Wurtzel, embrace fantasism, harness joie de vivre by pursuing insane interests, consuming passions, and constant sources of gratification that do not depend on the approval of others. You know, I like the rhyme and flow in this. I like how you write about woodworking. I actually, many years ago, attempted to start a business with a friend where we made homemade wooden scrapbooks. And the business, unfortunately, did not take off. But I have to say it was very relaxing and very fun to, you know, because she did more of the artistic stuff, like the wood burning, the etching, that kind of stuff, but I would do the sanding and all that. And I found that to be very relaxing. And I think you described that kind of a joy of creation. And I think that while you focus here on the idea both of woodworking and of poetry writing, I think there's many hobbies out there that people can pursue that give a sense of fulfillment, a sense of joy. I really like sawdust fly, sweat sting, sandpaper smooths away, rough three coats of stain, then wax polish with a high-speed buff. And this is beautiful all the way through, but that, and then where you bring us into the end, you know, with the joie de vivre and my newest insanity eats the hours of my days. Nonetheless, I dip pen to write sipping wine in my new artisanal chase. And I really like that because in the end, you remind us that while sometimes pursuing a hobby can be hard work and can there can be a sense of mayhem, in the end, you know, if everything goes as planned, there's a reward, you know, and especially the reward of self-accomplishment. So beautifully written and very well done.
Great comment. Thank you.
Absolutely. And I'm glad you were inspired. And Jean, back to you.
Okay. Well, Leon, this is a beautiful write, you know, nicely penned and great details throughout. I thought it was really well expressed, and I really enjoyed it. I think my favorite lines, you know, I mean, it's hard to pick them, but creation gleams in the light, poem crafted in hardwood. You know, burled dreams given form, natural beauty understood. You know, when we take on a project such as, or a hobby, whatever words we want to use for it, and we start to create, it doesn't matter what we create. It doesn't matter if we are working in wood, sand, stone. It is a poem in its sense. You know, it comes from the heart. It's what we make of it. So I think that was really well done, and I like the way you worded that.
You know, I really appreciate what you just said, because in the same way that we have to take a rough draft of a poem and caress it and nurture it, and form it into what we are looking for, because basically you're taking thought and you're giving thought form. So too, when you take a piece of wood, it looks nothing like what it's going to look like. And I found so many similarities between sanding something for the fifth time and rewriting a line for the fifth time. Well, at any rate, thank you.
Hi, Thomas. You're welcome. Okay, and Thomas? Coming for you, man. Just this
one. Thank you.
Whenever you're ready, hon.
Just this once. Everyone is too willing to tell what you can't do. Few are willing to challenge you with what you can. Follow the rules. Don't cause trouble. Know your place. Don't make waves. What if you hadn't listened? It haunts and lingers. The question, the dream, you tried to stop. Time never stops. You follow the rules, the expectations, the determinations. You laugh, have great parties. You did what you were supposed to do. You get to an age where it is all said and done. You see a chance. Raise a little hell. No one will care. People might talk, but at your age, who cares what they say? The hell with it. Kick it like there's no tomorrow.
I like it, Thomas. Mm-hmm. Awesome piece.
Absolutely. You should go ahead and continue with a comment there, Gene.
You know, I got such a kick out of this because it's so true. You know, and I know a lot of times you have a lot of truth in your poetry, but I love the, you know, everyone is too willing to tell you what you can't do. Few are willing to challenge you with what you can. And that's so true. Right from the gate, I mean, you nailed that. And I like the ideas as you're dropping down. But that image, oh, my God, the image. I love the image. And, you know, I think you just nailed that in the last few lines. You know, you get through all that, you follow the rules, the expectations, the determination, you laugh, have great parties. You did what you were supposed to do, you know, but then, you know, you read in there, raise a little hell. No one will care. People might talk, but at your age, cares what they say. To hell with it. Kick it like there's no tomorrow. I love it. I love it. It's so true. It's so true. I can really, well done.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm glad you were inspired by this picture because, you know, and I'm glad you liked this one, Jean. You know, it was one of those where you look at the picture and in my head, I could see the story behind it. I could see the movement behind it. I could see this woman walking home from the store and I could see the kid playing hockey and maybe even teasing her a bit for her age and her deciding she was going to show him that she still has it, you know. And there's just something about this picture that it just speaks, you know. And so great comment there, Jean. And Laurent.
Hi, this is an adorable poem. I'm not sure adorable is the right word, but first of all, the image is perfect. The look on her face, the motion of her foot, there is definitely gusto going on in that kick, because inside this aging woman is the little girl that used to kick that soccer ball so many years ago. She hasn't forgotten how. And yes, she will give in. And the lines that Jean quoted, you get to an age where it is all said and done, are the perfect last five lines, because I've found in my own life that you get to an age, screw it, F them if they can't think a joke, you know what I mean? It works very, very well for me, Tom. Great piece.
Well, as someone who's always been a little bit of a rebel, it was an opportunity I couldn't pass up.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Good comment, Lauren. Yeah, I really like this all the way through. I really like how you capture the kind of almost rebellious look of the woman. You know, and what, follow the rules, don't cause trouble, know your place, don't make waves. What if you hadn't listened? It haunts and lingers, the question, the dream, you tried to stop, time never stops. And I like how this is a story about someone who always followed the rules and then realizes one day in life, you know what, it's time to be a rebel, you know, and I too really liked that ending. You know, raise a little hell. No one will care. People might talk, but at your age, who cares what they say? To hell with it. Kick it like there's no tomorrow. Wonderful lines there. Just absolutely smile-inducing and very well done.
And I've got to go.
Well, you have a good night, Tom. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you, Thomas. Have a wonderful night. And a good day tomorrow.
Night all.
Night, hon. Okay, and next one I'm going to put up is, What did I say, Pam?
No, I was just going to say, and what do we got next, Jean? But obviously you're step and a half ahead of me.
Well, you know, it's like I feel like I'm on a mission here. let's see. The next one I put up is by Weaver of Dreams, and it's called Gray Horizon. And I'm going to hit that button because we have an audio. So here we go.
Light, love, and joie de vivre. I'm full of it, or so I'm told. Staying hungry, grabbing onto life, getting younger, not growing old. Now we come to the other bridge, who were born old, tired, and weary. They've lived, but not enjoyed it much. All is grey, soulless, dank, and dreary. From the haves to the have-nots, it's our duty to help them see. Although we seem polar opposites, we're the same, fundamentally. I see life in motion, evolving. They see only death and decay. I'll drag them into my sunshine, so I can hug their pain away. Plug yourself into this socket. I have plenty of joy to share. Let my warmth melt your ire, turn your grave to a yellow glare.
Wonderful read and write there, Weaver, and thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. Just a friendly reminder, everyone, if you're unable to call in, the next best thing is to make a recording of your poem, because then we get to hear your poetry in your voice. And, Laurent, your thoughts?
Wonderful piece. Beautifully delivered, I might add. Now we come to the other breed, who were born old, tired and weary, that lived but not enjoyed it much. All is gray, soulless, dark, dank, and dreary. And you know, all it takes is that one, that positive leader, who has the joy to spare, who has the warmth to melt their ire, who can take their pain away, who can see that life is motion and evolving, as the poet says. People in that state of mind can be led, and quite successfully, and I'm sure that Weaver of Dreams is exactly one of those. Great piece.
Absolutely, I have to agree. And yes, some people just have a certain sense of joy that they and sunshine that they spread around. So well said there. Yeah, you know, I thought this was beautifully written. I like how she mentions that there are certain people that have that light, that keep getting younger in spirit, you know, even as they're growing older. But there are those who are born old, who don't appreciate life. But I like how she does the comparison. I particularly like, I see life in motion, evolving. They see only death and decay. I'll drag them into my sunshine so I can hug their pain away. You know, just wonderful lines there and very well done. And Jean, back to you.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, I have to say, you know, I enjoy Weaver's rights. No matter what the topic, it seems like I tend to like them. This one here, I thought it was a great piece and well-penned. But, you know, the two stanzas that stood out to me, from the haves to the have-nots, it's our duty to help them see. Although we seem polar opposites, we're the same fundamentally. I see life in motion evolving. They see only death and decay. I'll drag them into my sunshine so I can hug their pain away. What a wonderful, like, set of stanzas right there. And I liked the beginning, and I liked all the rest of it, but these two really stood out to me. Because really that's what it's about. You know, we should always reach out and try and make someone feel a little better. And, you know, I mean, if we can't do that, what can we do? Kindness is free, you know. So just very well done, Kate. And thank you so much for putting this one in. I really enjoyed it. Okay. Now, let's do this magic again. Okay, Pam, I got one for you.
All right. This is Joy of Life by Rose Winter 515, and it goes like this. We can all be joyful, whatever our age is, because we are still alive, and take pleasure in being with family and friends in harmony. People who are alone and lonely, we need to have friendship buddies so they feel wanted and loved. So very important to be connected. The internet is a great means of making new friends across the world. And, you know, I liked this poem, I really like this poem by Rose Winter 515. It was actually a little longer than she usually writes. I like the centering of it and how, you know, it almost looks like, because she wrote the one of a very happy woman, prompt 18, which I think was the one, the kicking the soccer ball. But it's interesting because the way she ended up shaping this, it almost looks like the form of a woman, which I think adds to it. And I don't know if that was intentional or not, but it works well. And I like how she reminds us in that couplet at the end that the internet is a great means of making new friends across the world. Because, you know, there's there's a lot of not good things about the internet, and I think we all have discussed that at one time or another. But I do think there is a great opportunity to get to know people and make friends that you wouldn't have been able to make otherwise. You know, so just absolutely a delightful write and very well done. And Laurent, your thoughts? Are you still there, Laurent?
Sorry, I was on mute. What did I want to say? Yeah, I don't see a woman. And then that next, I see a flask, a beaker, you know, like they use in chemistry class. Joy of life. You know, the prompt, a very happy lady of senior years, those last lines are telling. The internet is a great means of making new friends across the world. You can imagine 40 years ago, being of a certain age, being in a home of assisted living perhaps, spending your days in a room. Yes, there are books. Yes, there are movies. But where's the stimulation? Where's the world? You can be of an age, infirm, in that room, and yet be in the world with friends all across the world, interests, common interests. I mean, it's impossible not to keep up with what's happening on Earth if you have a computer. I think it's a wonderful thing and grateful.
Absolutely. I have to agree. Well said there. And back to you, Jean.
Yeah, well, I think Rose did a great job with this, right? I thought it was very well expressed, and I really liked it, and I thought the thoughts were well done. So nice work, Rose Winter 515. Thanks for sharing with us all. Okay. Let me see. I don't know if I picked something up or if I didn't pick something up. Yes, I did. Laurent, I have one for you to read, please. And you got about the last six of them are all for you because they're all meant to. That's what I tell you. No,
happy
you
to This is called Pablo and Brigitte by David Philip Ireland. Girl from the South. He was an artist with passion and soul. He was bold. He was a bully. He painted to save his life. She was 21. He was 17 in reverse. She taught him how to dance. He taught her how to paint. And she did. And he did. And his skies were cerulean blue. And his trees verdant green. And his grass was scorched, parched, and thirsty in the Cévennes sun. And her balance was exquisite. A village girl of the lavender fields. And his strength was intoxicating with all the power of a peasant king. His blood as red as Van Gogh's beetroot beard. Their touch delicate. Their love painterly. Fingertips and badger hair. Strokes that will last forever. Indelible, invisible pigments on their skin. The immortal power of Pablo. Brigitte, the muse eternal. End poem.
Wonderful read there, Laurent. You know, I just really like the imagery in this. In his end, he says, written in Picasso's old studio in a chateau in the mountains above Endouze. And I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing Endouze right, but, you know, I think this is just absolutely beautiful. How he brings us back in history and yet writes something that I think anybody can relate to. The idea of having a muse, a person that speaks to you in their beauty, or even a place that speaks to you. I really like the imagery, and his skies were cerulean blue and his trees verdant green and his grass was scorched, parched, and thirsty in the Cévennes sun, and her balance was exquisite, a village girl of the lavender field, and his strength was intoxicating. There's a kind of a delicate sensuality that works well with this. And to describe, you know, Van Gogh's beard as blood red as Van Gogh's beetroot beard, I thought that was a perfect way to describe somebody who has a red hair, beetroot. So, you know, just really clever lines throughout, wonderful use of imagery. And I really like how in the end he says the immortal power of Pablo Brigitte, the muse eternal. You know, there are just some people who, while they don't create art themselves, they become the muses, people who create art and poetry that remain an important part of history. And so you have to wonder what things would have been different as far as the creation of art and poetry if these muses hadn't been around. So beautifully written and very well done. And Lauren, you did a wonderful read of that. Your thoughts?
So far, it's my favorite one of the night. I think it's astonishingly good, and it really had a strong emotional impact on me. I mean, his characters are real, exquisitely drawn, and the venue in which it was written kind of takes my breath away. In Picasso's old studio in his chateau, in the mountains above Anjou, are you kidding me? He's really channeled something here.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I would love to be able to be writing in an environment like that. You know, I have to agree. It's almost enviable. So, great comment. And back to you, Phil.
I thought this was just a wonderful piece. I totally loved it. It was so beautifully expressed, with wonderful imagery throughout. I thought it was just stunning. So, excellent. Excellent piece there, David Settle Pirate. Thanks for sharing, as always. Okay, so we're going to go back. And I guess keep going back. Eventually, I'll get to the room. Okay. Now I'm going to read this one. And this is by, I might be big enough, I might be able to read who it's by. Rhonda Yoshri. It's called Living a Life Full of Ethic. And I'm probably pronouncing that wrong, but I hope not. Through time's steep rocky gorge, with inclusions of despair's rubble, gravel and pebbles, covering possibilities with dark gray clay silk. Strength defenders are out of breath. Hopes glare themselves through poignancy's waters. Blurred screen, coercively, were abducted, and their ashes were kept in a funeral urn. From deep inside, a crave to embrace, life struggling to stop anxiety about tomorrow, to savor the moment and see gusts of gifts doors ajar. Despite afflictions, obscure Glenn, take a breathing spell, caress life's music, tunes and Kefi's little feet in their soft leather, canvas dancing shoes, will do their work swiftly, gracefully, and compose her triumph, show herself, and so on.
Wonderful read there, Jean. And what a beautiful write by Randa. And she says in her AN, when a Greek mentions the word Kefi, they are referring to experience, the spirit of joy, passion, happiness, triumph, mojo, exuberance, excitement, euphoria, enthusiasm, frenzy, feeling good, having fun, or loving life. So while this wasn't written for the contest, I thought it fit extremely well with the topic for the night. And Lauren, your thoughts?
Yeah, I really like the way she uses the image of the steep rocky gorge as metaphor in the first two stanzas. Hopes glare themselves through poignancy waters blurred screen. That is nicely done. And then in the third stanza moves into that craving to embrace life. And I might mention offhand, if you've ever seen the movie Zorba the Greek, he had that the Greek's profound passion in life, in the dancing. A lot of that movie could be talked about, just given the joie de vivre topic for tonight. So I thought she did a beautiful job, and I was fascinated by the word Keffi. At first, I thought it was Keef, which is something else entirely. But I thought Randy did a great job with this.
Absolutely. It's really good and wonderful observation. I actually have never had the opportunity to see that movie. I've heard of it because, you know, it's a classic that I think even if you've never watched it, you've heard of it.
Two words.
I think it's one that, yeah.
Two words. Must see. Okay.
Must see. Okay.
Must
All right. I will definitely put that. It sounds like a movie
gladden
I would enjoy.
Gladden your heart. Gladden your heart.
Yeah, I like that. Cool. I'll have to check it out. But a wonderful comment. Yeah, I love the imagery in this. I love that it fit with the topic and the idea of the exuberance for life. Tomorrow to savor the moment and see gustos, gifts, doors, jars, despite afflictions, obscure Glenn, take a breathing spell, caress life's music. You know, I like that this is about the idea of someone who embraces life and, you know, lives and with joy to the fullest, even though they are going through difficult times. So wonderful, right, and very well done. And back to you, Jean.
Yes. Now I know where I'm going. Took me a minute. I thought this was a great addition to tonight's show. Very well penned, and I really liked it. I think that first stanza, the lead-in stanza, was perfect for tonight. And I absolutely agree with you, Pam, since it wasn't written for this show. It was pretty amazing how it just fit right in. So, excellent job. Okay, Pam, I have the next one up for you. And this is by Forgotten Dream.
All right. Delight in the day around me by Forgotten Dream. Coastal fog creeps, misty fingers blotting out warmth, letting tendrils pinch cheeks and digging toes in damp sand. My smile cracks like the golden rays breaking from the silver sky. Skin prickles with expanding light, pupils constricting, body softens. I gaze at the midday sparkles, dancing on the undulating ocean, chest swelling like crescent waves, and the sun erupts with my laugh, savoring the salty breeze that tickles strands on neck, caressing across arms. I shut my eyes and inhale. End poem. Absolutely. That is a beautiful write, isn't it? And Jean, your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought this is just beautiful work. I really enjoyed all the imagery throughout. I mean, you can't beat it, you know? I gaze at the midday sparkles, dancing on the undulating ocean, chest swelling like cresting waves, and the sun erupts with my laugh. That was just a great stanza in itself. I have to admit that this last stanza, savoring the salty breeze, the tickle strands on neck, caressing it crossed arms, I shut my eyes and inhale. It's like so perfect. I'm there a minute, you know. I definitely can relate to that sentence, and I think that it was just wonderful. Yes. I think Forgotten Dreams did a great job with it. And, absolutely. I just think it was great. So that's it for me. I'm all done.
Well said there. I like that. And I have to agree. And, Lauren, your thoughts?
Well, I've got to kind of piggyback on what Jean was saying. She picked up on some wonderful images. This is a poet who has spent time at the beach. I don't think you get to write something like this without experiencing the morning fog, the coastal fog, and then the golden rays breaking from the silver sky a little later on, and then Jean mentioned the midday sparkle dancing on the undulating ocean. it is quite magic. And finishing it with that deep inhale where you just absorb with a breath, with open arms, everything that you see, everything around you. The beach is such a wonderful place, as is the poem.
Absolutely. Well said there. And I have to agree with you. Now, I know it is possible for people to have extremely good imagination, but I think for every one of us, there's a place or time that speaks to our spirit. And to me, you know, it feels like, as you said, like somebody who knows the beach, who the beach is their happy place, their quiet place, their meditative place. So I thought this had wonderful use of imagery. I like this all the way through, but particularly my smile cracks like the golden rays breaking from the silver sky, skin prickles with expanding light, pupils constrict and body softens. You can just feel the idea of the body and spirit just relaxing and appreciating the moment. So beautifully written and very well done. And Jean, back to you.
Thank you, Doug. You got me all confused because you had me comment first. But it's okay. The next piece I have is Up For You by S. Sharp.
Who do you want, me?
Yes. Thanks.
You lift me up, S. Sharp. Arms like an abacus, I count on you. Winged wrists slide along your pale, blank skin. You raise me up to see beyond today's darkened marbled skies into the abyss of expectation. I see the sweet summer glow, orange marmalade blending with purple passion. Clouds cover the past. Allow me to float onward above the fray into the mangolded multitude of sun rays that lead to tomorrow. Your arms around me, the beads slide all to one side, and everything seems to add up.
Great read there, Lauren. And what a wonderfully creative write by Scott. And let's see, he said he wrote to prompt 3, and I'm curious which one that is. Ah, that is the one of the friends having like a brunch together. So I can see with the how he got the abacus idea. But I have to say that I think to me is one of the creative ideas in a love poem or a friendship poem that I have ever seen is to bring in an abacus. And I like how he brings that in at the beginning, you know, the arms like an abacus, I can count on you. And then even in the end where he says, your arms around me, the beads fly all to one side and everything seems to add up. I like how this does, you know, it uses the abacus as an extended metaphor and the idea of a love that, or friendship or love that adds up or makes sense. I really like cover the past, allow me to float onward above the fray into the marigolded multitude of sun rays that lead to tomorrow. There's such a wonderful sense of hope within those lines that I really appreciate. Beautifully written and very well done. And Laurent, you did a wonderful read of that. Your thoughts?
I had my glasses on. I think I said mangolded instead of marigolded. But all right. Yeah, like you, I really like the way she begins with the abacus and finishes with the beads slide all to one side and everything seems to add up. It's a great open and close with just the right amount in between, especially clouds cover the past, allow me to float onward above the fray, almost as if there's a past that needs covering up, and I'm thankful that they're there because it allows me to proceed, move forward in life with you. Wonderful little brevity.
Absolutely. Well said there. And Jean, back to you.
Okay. I thought this was a wonderful piece by Scott. You know, I love the intro stanza, arms like an abacus. You know, and I'm sure both of you have touched on this completely. So I really liked how he entered the poem. But then that stanza was only second to this one, "Your arms around me, the beads slide all to one side," and everything seems to add up. I just thought that those two stanzas alone, I'm satisfied. I think it's wonderful. The rest of it is just gravy, you know. So well done, Scott, and thanks for sharing with us tonight. I really liked it. Okay. Let me see. We did that one. And, oh, yes. Pam, this next one. You. This one is
for you. Oh,
yes. Oh, and your challenges. Your challenge is, I want to hear you read it in Dutch.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. What is that? Ik wilde in door heaven. That's my closest guess.
I don't know.
So I think I'm...
You can say it anyway.
What? You don't know Dutch? You're the one from Pennsylvania.
No,
isn't that where all the Dutch people are from?
They're further north. Hey, listen, we got a phone call. We have Victoria Frost.
Ooh, awesome.
Hello, Victoria.
Hi, ladies.
Nice to have you. How are you?
Hey, Victoria. Glad you could join us.
Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Always.
Awesome.
And just so you know, we have Laurent with us, so we're not all ladies. Just
saying. Oh, hi, Laurent.
Hey there. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
And you got here just in time to hear him read in Dutch.
Oh, love it.
No, I think I'm gonna read it in English, because if I attempted anything in Dutch, which I've never read before, I'm pretty sure anybody who actually spoke Dutch would be, I don't know, rolling their eyes or something.
I don't know. Maybe. I would love to hear it then. I'll get it right in Dutch.
All right, but this is "I Wanted to Have a Goal" by Lazy Midday, and it goes like this. "I wanted to have a goal that may not exist. Now I cycle alone on a road in the forest. I have searched enough for things I missed. I look, perceive what is there, and learn to resist without haste, cause this way is not the shortest. I wanted to have a goal that may not exist. From the sound of my tire on bumps that persist of gravel and boulders on the route I don't suppress, I have searched enough for things I missed. Words describe the image I find myself amidst, and back to a field, no sheep this time, hapless. I wanted to have a purpose that may not exist. The young trees, they are peeping from the wilderness, some as high as the grass, it's what I see nonetheless. I have searched enough for things I miss. Curved curls, the fingers of the wisteria twist. Reach over the sunlit wall if I don't protest. I wanted to have a purpose that may not exist. I have searched enough for things I missed." End poem. And I have to say, what a wonderful write by Lazy Midday. She says in her AN that this is her first villanelle, and I say kudos to her for trying something new. I think it's important to every one of us to always try new forms of poetry. And a villanelle, I think, is probably one of my absolute favorite. It's a form that looks simple, but it's deceptive because it's not as simple as it looks. You know, you have to choose a repetitive line that works well, and I think she's done a wonderful job with this. And, of course, I'm going to comment further, but I do want to get some other thoughts first. And so, Victoria, since you're new here, let's go ahead and get your thoughts.
Admit it, you cut your comments short because you know I'm long-winded. have you missed me? So this this may be because I had therapy until about an hour ago and had to spend some time with the family. So glad to be here. But I have therapy, and there's some stuff going on in my family that we're discussing boundaries. And what does those boundaries look like between me and my sister and me and my mother and even my brother and my father? And one of the hard conversations that we're having is that just because my family has an inability, my sister has an inability to connect with me as I am today does not mean that she doesn't value me. It just means that she's not in a healthy enough place to have that connection. My daughters are not asleep, so they might scream. Sorry about this. They're fighting. Likewise, it is not my requirement, or it is not for me to make up for her inability. And so in a lot of ways, this poem speaks to me. It speaks to me of my deep desire to have a familial connection with my sister, with my brother, with my mother even, with the understanding that that might not be in their capabilities. And so in many ways, I've looked at the field searching for that flock, searching for my flock, and they're not there. And I've searched through the forest and only found that I become lost because I cannot find my home through the vine. And it does not mean that I am somehow less, but it just means that that relationship, that purpose may not exist. And that though I am searching for these things, it also does not mean that I have missed them. It just means that they may not be there. And so to me, this speaks to me, which is always a good indicator of art when it speaks to us in our own meanings and messages. But this speaks to me in many ways of those times in life where we feel as though something is not what it should be, a relationship or a job or an opportunity may not be what we had hoped, that goal may not be achievable. And so we are stuck trying to find the thing that we didn't do enough of. And sometimes that just wasn't there, not for our own fault, but because we cannot control all things. And sometimes the stars just don't align. So a fantastic VNL. A fantastic poem that just to me is deeply emotional and thought-provoking.
Absolutely. I have to agree. And I like that this touched you. I like that you saw within it something that you could relate to. And I think, you know, that's important for people to know that their poetry moves people, their poetry touches people. And so great comment and observations there. Thank you. And Laurent, your thoughts?
Yeah, if you think that I'm going to take a stab at covering something that was so wonderfully covered just a moment ago, you know, you are wonderfully loquacious. I would not call it long-winded. But in back of what you related in terms of your goal, which may not exist, you opened up the entire poem for anyone listening. So I am not going to add anything to it except to say that thank God you're long-winded.
All right, well, great comment there, Laurent. And, I thought this was beautifully written. I like what Victoria had to say. I really particularly like the imagery of from the sound of my tire on bumps that persist of gravel and boulders on the route I don't suppress. I have searched enough for things I missed. And I like, to me, that speaks on the idea that we don't always find the things we want by taking that easy road. You know, that oftentimes we have to go over the gravel and the boulders. We have to go through those rough rides of life. In order to define what it is that truly makes us happy. I also like the young trees there peeping from the wilderness, same as high as the grass. Some as high as the grass. It's what I see nonetheless. I've searched the things enough for things I miss. You know, they're just wonderful lines here. It's beautifully written. You know, I do like the inner and end rhyme on a technical level, especially in the alliteration. Curved curls the fingers of the wisteria twist. And I like the use of using a vine like wisteria in the way that it kind of takes over, I think makes for a wonderful metaphor. And this was beautifully written and very well done. And Jean, back to you.
Okay. Yeah, I think that this had a lot of wonderful imagery throughout, and I think it was very, very well done. There's no one else. So awesome, 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 awesome. Okay. So, Victoria, I'm going to put one up for you. And yeah.
Of course, you give me the French one and you give Pam the Dutch one. What have we got going on here tonight, Phil?
Well, anyway, the title that's French.
That's the problem.
Okay. So I'm going to apologize. This is, and I apologize for that. Joie de vivre. Life is a mystery full of grief, but also brimming with gaiety. A scale on each, of whose sides are balanced delights and distress. We, all of us, are bound to have our share. Lamenting about problems will not drive them away. Cry I might all day, still I will have to struggle through the pain. Though courageously facing them and enjoying small happies will ease the same and aid to their mitigation. Good times don't last forever. Same is the case with troubled ones, however. Past moves to present and present moves to future. There is always light after dark. Being careworn at times can't be avoided, but one can always remain carefree. Keeping these in mind, one can surely move on. Misery loves company, and so does fealty. Sharing grief may gain a few friends, but one would lose many. No one wishes to be with a person who is constantly unhappy. Smiling face wins hearts, and sharing joy makes everyone cheery. Infectious laughter is a term that gives one food for thought. I do not have to search far away for bliss. It is within me. Best thing about happiness is that it is an entirety. It is an entity not dependent on anything except one's thinking. It is one precious commodity that is happily taken, happily given, and costs nothing. This is what I feel is one of the chief tenets of Joie de vivre, end poem.
Wonderful read there, Victoria, and what a delightful and thoughtful write by Random Scribbler. And Laurent, your thoughts?
Yeah, she begins life as a mystery, which it is. But she gives very good lessons on how to deal with the mystery. It's that recognition that even though you cry and might cry all day, still you have to struggle through pain. And the sense that you understand that good times don't last forever, and you wake up one morning and the world is dark and you're shocked. How can this be? The same is the case with troubled ones. You can go through hard times for a long time, and all of a sudden the light shines. And she says, past moves to present, and present moves to future. There is always light after dark, in the same way that there is dark after light, one might say. The sense of happiness being carried as something within one, and not dependent on any external force, regardless of how brutal, is true, and it's awfully difficult. But I have to agree, it's one of the chief tenets of Joie de vivre. Well done.
Absolutely. Great observations there. And she wrote to Prompt 13, which was the quote, positive mind, positive vibes, positive life. And you're right there, Lauren. She touched really well on that idea of, you know, that happiness isn't about external forces. It's about those internal forces. So great observation there. And Victoria, you did a wonderful read of that. Your thoughts?
So this has got me thinking, because the reason that we know happiness is because we know sadness and anger and pain. If we did not know those things, then we simply would not understand what it truly means to have happiness. And again, therapy on the brain. But we often think that in life we should be pursuing being happy, that success comes because we are happy, or that we will be happy when we succeed. But just like any other emotion, an overabundance of it is also a sign that there's something wrong. And so to me, this poem kind of got me thinking about, first, the society or the societal demand to be happy, to be portrayed as happy. And we see that as social media, the perfect life does not have flaws. It does not have sadness. It does not have pain. It does not have trauma. It is happy, and you exude it. But that is always not the case. It comes with that hardship, with that pain. And it further reminds me that I've, you know, talking with family, I often say that happiness may not have a cost, but neither does kindness. And so sometimes happiness is not just the emotion, but it is a choice. It is choosing. Okay, hold on. Sorry, tiny human being. Go get your necklace. I will be right there. Thank you. It is choosing to be happy even in those good days. It is choosing the choices to not sit there and dwell on the pain and the sadness. It doesn't necessarily mean that you are happy. It's choosing to make the best out of a bad situation. And that's probably one of my chief tenets that I live by. Not every day is going to be amazing. Not every day is going to be a 10. Sometimes it's just a 3. But on those 3 days when the world is just not really doing what it's supposed to do, I can still make it the best one. And so to me, this speaks of that, the philosophy of choosing happiness, even though it may not mean that it's the greatest day ever.
I like that. I like that. Absolutely. There is definitely that message of choosing happiness. So a wonderful comment there. Yeah, I thought this was a beautiful write that showed the idea of the importance of how we choose the inner emotions, you know, no matter what's going on the outside. You know, I like that there's so much that, you know, very observational here. Good times don't last forever. Same is the case with troubled ones. However, past moves to present and present moves to future. There's always light after dark. Wonderful philosophical lines, beautifully written and very well done. And back to you, Jean.
Okie dokie. I'm going to refrain from verbal comments. I'm going to leave written ones so maybe we can get an extra piece or so. So here we go. Laurent, I'm going to put this one up for you. By Tom Teller.
Alrighty. No one deserves a carefree existence. By Tom Teller. It isn't us, it's them. No matter how positive you be, how hedonistic you are, rainbows always disappear. And so we invent some mind training to cope with failing. An enforced failing by collusion and deliberate underhanded bullying has an altogether different set of maxims and generalizations that we use to bend the will and tame the individual, all in the name of growth. And yet, that individual who simply wants to be is closer to the higher authority and the bliss of emptiness than any of the teachers and trainers. So joie de vivre is conditional on those around you. It's not your negativity that stops you, but theirs, and their need to be controlling, and their need to be helpful, but on their terms. And of course, they fail to express this from the beginning, which is a lack of common sense on their part, childishness, hence the bully, and live your life you do. And the gods of villages and towns say, hey there, you're not doing things our way. You're not joining in. So how can what you do be fun and enjoying life? What if that caravan parked the roadside or the temporary campsite in a playing field? What did the locals say about that? We pay taxes and bills and earn money legally to pay mortgages and more bills and more taxes. What have you lost? You live your lives any way you choose, parking all over our fields and our verges, not paying taxes, not paying the bills we all pay, living hand to mouth. The thing that we hate about you the most is that you are happy, 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 and we pretend by joining this club, that club, listening to the gossip and that gossip, oh yes, life is never for living, but for community and only community. End quote.
Wonderful read there, Lauren. And what an excellent thought-provoking write by Time Teller. Definitely a different approach to the topic of joie de vivre. You know, I like how he speaks on the idea of a society that has become us and them, you know, groups of people who don't necessarily understand each other, and offers up the thought that perhaps happiness is a cover-up for what is truly going on. You know, I like the social commentary in this, as I said, that the us and them, you know, so joie de vivre is conditional on those around you. It's not your negativity that stops you, but theirs and their need to be controlling. And so oftentimes I think people who are like energy vampires, you know, who suck the life out of you, the spirit out of you, are, you know, or people who, you know, get their enjoyment out of negativity, so oftentimes do that because there is these control issues. You know, there's a lot of lines to dig into in this, you know, but I definitely think all in all it was definitely very thought-provoking in its commentary on how people don't always want to even try to understand others' points of view. So excellent write and very well done. And Victoria, your thoughts?
So this one, again, really reminded me of kind of like what you were even saying, is that that social commentary is talking about how society dictates how we must be happy, what success is. And often it's going to be by those social standards, the social media standards that nobody really is living up to. But we put on that facade. We put on that joy. We say, you cannot succeed. Your life cannot be good if it does not fit these rules. And so we are stuck kind of in this idea of constantly achieving what is perceived to be happiness, what is perceived to be success, never really getting that fulfillment. You know, maybe it is going to that trip to Paris that you are thinking, my love, you're supposed to be in bed. Maybe it's going, sorry, tiny human beings, this is why I usually don't call into the early show. But it's, you know, maybe it's that trip to Paris that all of a sudden, you know, you can't pay your bills because you spent all your excess money doing that, or you overspent while you were on your vacation. You know, maybe it is just the daily grind of buying the house that makes everybody ooh and ah, but suddenly real estate taxes get you. You know, I do have to say, though, as a tax accountant, if anybody ever needs help, you got my number. We'll make sure you pay the least amount of taxes you have to. But for real, you know, we shouldn't be doing this daily grind that determines happiness by stuff. We should be finding those moments and those opportunities to have true joy. Unfortunately, society just doesn't see it.
Great comment there. And it's always good to hear from you and your little ones in the background. Such sweeties.
Yep.
And Lauren, your thoughts.
This I want to be quick, but this poem it draws some conclusions I might not agree with. and it draws many others that I absolutely agree with. So I'm going to leave a detailed expression of my thoughts in text, and we can move to the next poem if you like.
Sounds good. All right. And Jean, back to
well,
you.
I think that I can tweak in one more. So I'm going to put it up, and I'm even going to read it. So we don't want to, I don't want to overwork Victoria. Hold the Sunshine by Geronimo. Every moment has its time, found in the now of being there. Seize the joy, smiling, laughing loud. Remembered moments hung on the wall of joy de vivre, you called. Hold the happiness of your smile. Let time stand still. Stop all the clocks. Pour some wine. Contemplate scented air. Relax and let stop time flow into joy de vivre, recalled. Make the glass of wine half full. Hold the sunshine of love and laughter in the olives and the cheese. Break the bread and say merci for your joy de vivre. And home.
Great read there, Jean. What a beautiful write by Garanaway, whose writing I always appreciate. And I like that the general theme of this, the general vibe, is to appreciate every moment for what it is. And it's a wonderful brevity all the way through. And I like where he says, relax and let the stop time flow into joie de vivre, recall, you know, remember those past times. But then it brings us into the present, and I really like that he brings food and wine into it. Hold the sunshine of love and laughter and the olives and the cheese. Break the bread and say merci. You know, just the thankfulness for the blessings of life is very abundant in this poem. So beautifully written and very well done. And Victoria, your thoughts.
So I'll try and keep this one short because we've only got about 3 minutes left. But I have to say what I love most about this is that it reminds us that that joy, that moment is just that. It's just a moment. They are pictures. They are seizing the moment. They are the breaking of bread. They are those infinitesimal seconds that fly by but seem like hours. It's those opportunities that are fainting, that are fading, that are minute and ephemeral, and that just don't stick with us. And that's why we love them. That's why they are those beautiful moments to remember, because they don't last, even if we're able to capture them. So I love that. Hold the sunshine.
Absolutely. Well said there. And Laurent, your thoughts?
I agree completely with Victoria. In that first stanza, that line, remembered moments hung on the wall of joie de vivre recalled, it implies a special place we have in our head that holds those wonderful moments, especially if they're mixed in with a bit of love. I like the A Table in Provence theme. Works very well for me on this piece. Nicely done.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Wonderful comments and wonderful show tonight. If you did not hear your poem read there, I think you have like 3 carryovers. They will go to another show. I'm not sure where, but I will let you know when I know. I'd like to say thank you to Jean for all you do and for being a wonderful co-host. Thank you to Randy, Tom, Laurent, and Victoria for calling in. We really appreciate you all. Thank you to everyone who wrote for the show, is listening now, or will be listening later. You're all truly appreciated. As I said, I really enjoyed this topic. I really enjoyed the show and such a good time to have. And Phil, anything you'd like to say in closing?
Yes, great prompt as always, Pam, and thanks for hanging in there. I know it hasn't been too easy for you the last couple of days, and I thank you, Victoria, for calling in when you did, Laurent, Thomas, and, of course, Randy. You know, everybody, y'all helped out a lot more than you know tonight, so I appreciate it. Pam, I'll talk to you later on. Excellent job, excellent show, excellent poetry. really, really great pieces tonight. So thank you.
Absolutely. And have a good night, everyone.
Good night.